So, on Rewine and Review with WinesDirect.ie, we are going to very soon talk about the piece of television that will make you blush in front of your other half with whom you've been intimate for years. Mm-hmm. Or so Lynn Berry tells us. Good morning.
Good morning, Will.
Looking forward to this. Looking forward to this. But, you know, we have to kind of warm up with the wine first.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Gareth, good morning, by the
good
way.
Good morning. Sorry, you sort of jumped in there.
Where's your other partner in crime?
Well, he's actually over in Longford at the moment in Centre Parks.
Oh, good for
running around
him.
With his children. And so up since, I think, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, we're having a very relaxing holiday after Christmas.
Yeah, that sounds like a holiday. Yeah. Not.
So hello to Gavin. Hello to Gavin out there. And hello to Gavin out there.
Hi, Gav.
This is dry-ish January.
Yes.
What have we got? What's our theme?
So the theme here is we're looking at lower alcohol wines. And so we got a Riesling coming, and we're also, it's a new year, so looking for something a bit different. So what we are looking at is Riesling from Western Australia, Gruner Verolina from Austria, and a Gamay from Beaujolais, from the Brett Brothers, which is called Men and Brett. These are about 12.5% to 11.5% alcohol.
What's normal?
Generally, at the moment, about 13 to 14%, 15% alcohol because of global warming, especially in red wines, because the riper the grape, the more the sugar, bigger bang for the buck, and we just be getting hotter summers.
Wow.
So what's the appeal of the lower alcohol?
Well, for some people, they prefer lower alcohol because they want to have a glass of wine or two of wine and just want to keep the alcohol low. For me, it's just I prefer lower alcohol wines because it means I can have two glasses of wine instead of just one.
Are they going to be sweeter if less of that sugar has converted
good question,
to alcohol?
Good question. Not in these ones, because a lot of ones generally under 10% alcohol, because again, that's when they stop the fermentation. So there's residual sugar left, and the residual sugar, the yeast hasn't eaten the residual sugar, so they're actually sweeter. And you get that a lot in Rieslings coming from Germany and some other wines like that. But yeah, very good question. Generally, when you hit about 8%, they're going to be sweet or off dry.
So these ones...
Oh no, these are all bone dry.
Taste like wine.
This tastes like wine, indeed.
All right, which one will we begin with?
Okay, sorry. I'll go straight back in. We're going into Western Australia and we're going to go with Riesling.
Mate.
Sorry?
G'day, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. Oh no, I can't do an Australian accent or can't do accents, so I won't. So we got Riesling here, and this actually comes from a family-run estate down in Franklin River, which is right down, like my brother-in-law is actually down there in Western Australia at this moment in time. It's a very, 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 very remote area.
It would be easy to mistake for water by appearance.
It's very light in colour.
Incredible.
But you put your nose into it, it is real autumnal. Just drops out, it jumps out of the grass at you.
It's woody.
It's got plenty of like flavours. Flavors going on here, and that's just saying it. Just because it's low in alcohol doesn't mean it has to be low in taste as well. This is said Western Australia, but it's quite far down south, so you get the huge amount of heat, but you get the wind from the Antarctica coming up, so cooling the grapes as well. As a result of that, you get something that's actually quite aromatic. And the Rieslings from this part of the world are actually probably some of the best. Because with global warming and everything else, Riesling generally comes. It's a very delicate grape. It's a very temperamental grape. It needs actually a cooler climate, not really hot. And even in Europe, where it's traditionally grown, it's starting to come under pressure.
Interesting.
I have a friend in Perth at the moment, and it's 35 degrees over there. Of course, it's summer. So when you say not really hot, what's...
yeah, what's your define hot then?
Define hot. Well, they got this breeze coming in from the south. And okay. That's what's actually... And the south, remember, is... It's back to front down there. So south is north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it tempers it a bit.
So it tempers it a bit. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. But like it just wakes up the palate.
What I would say, okay, so on appearance, I'm like, I would mistake that for water. Mm. And then as it approaches your mouth, you're like, oh, absolutely not. It's quite pungent. Yeah. Smell wise, like it is very aromatic.
It's very aromatic, and that's very much of
interesting.
The reasonings from this part of the world in Australia, because generally they all want to get that way, but in Germany and Alsace, where they're generally from, they would take maybe 2 or 3 years to get that way. But you got initially, and it's great value.
Okay,
as regards like it's under €15.
Okay,
Sorry, what now?
Under 15 euros.
Under 15. I thought you said 150 euros, and I'm like, what? Oh, no, what is the going price for wine right now?
I was about to say I'd fly to Australia and bring some back.
Absolutely.
It's
under
almost
15 euros. Okay, well, that's very doable in January for anyone.
It really is. And the next one, just to keep it on the white for a second before we go on Saltburn. Because are we going to Salt? Do you want to go on?
Oh, we'll move on to Saltburn after this other one.
Yeah. So, again, give me something new. This is Grüner Berliner, or just Grüner. And this comes from Austria. Now, this is actually one of the best grapes for me because
that's an elegant bottle.
It's, my dad used to say, great for dosing calves. It's got a very long neck.
Yes.
I would choose that aesthetically even.
But like this,
for a gift.
This one is actually a bit greener on the nose. But again, 12.5% alcohol and very aromatic. And do you know what Austrian wines actually go brilliantly with is actually spicy foods. So anything sort of curry, any sort of like Chinese food, anything like that.
But forgive me, it's not one of those countries you really associate with winemaking.
Yeah, no, it's starting to come back up there. It was in 1984 they had a huge crisis. In the fact, I'm not sure if you guys remember The Simpsons when Bart Simpson was found people putting antifreeze into the wine.
No.
Somebody actually did put antifreeze into the wine in Austria year, and the whole place collapsed. The whole industry collapsed. But as a result, they basically took that as an opportunity to basically get rid of all the mass-produced really bad wines, and they said so the only ones that are left are actually independent family-run vineyards. So as a result, they've actually managed to keep their quality and keep their price.
So you're happy this is good, or should I stick it in the freezer first?
No, it should. You should.
It's that certainly not as pungent as what the other one was.
No, it's not as jumping out of the glass as you. With me, I get a lot more sort of like almost a bit.
It's a drier wine.
Greener apples, sort of a little bit more tropical fruit going on in there. But also, like, this is really zesty wine. This is actually going, and again, this is what we're looking for in January. Something new, but something really to wake up your taste buds as well. And again, if you're talking about dry January, again, it's bone dry at the end, and it's only 12.5% alcohol.
But I can imagine if you were eating Madras, for instance, something very spicy, the more sugary wine would nearly animate your mouth and make it more difficult.
Yeah.
Whereas this will have a cleansing effect.
Yeah. And that's what you're looking for. And especially when you're talking about, say, if you go to Chinese food where they're using a lot of ginger, a lot of lime and everything else. Mm-hmm. Even if you're having red meat, there's more acidity going on. Mm-hmm. So because there's more acidity going on, you actually need something with a bit of zing to it rather than red wine, for example, to work with it. So that's the reason why. Again,
probably have that conversation when you're buying the wine. What's the occasion? What are you going to be eating?
Yeah, well, that's it. And when you come into Mullingar or Athlone with us, that's essentially what you do. Because a lot of the times we come in, and we were spent a very busy time over Christmas, and people coming in and saying, look for wine for Christmas or whatever it was at that point in time. It's very much the same. Okay, what do you like? What are you having? Or are you having it by yourself? What do you like drinking? Do you like fruity wine? Or do you like a dry wine? Do you like a big wine? Do you like a low? And at which stage, when you start talking to people like that, you're able to then guide them into whichever way that they want to go.
It might spice up the turkey curry, though. It might make it more palatable.
Yeah.
You know, the day after Boxing Day, when you whip out the turkey curry.
Boxing Day?
Yes. I think it's from like reading papers over the years where you're looking for like, is Santa Claus the movie on BBC One? And they always refer to it as Boxing Day. So in my head now, it's always, even though it's St. Stephen's Day.
You should pick up the RTE guide.
Sorry about
that. But net results, even with the turkey curry. Absolutely brilliant. But again, something just a little bit different, lower alcohol going generally, just something just to wake up the taste buds, and again, something new,
because that's super elegant. I'm taken by that bottle.
Thank you.
And how cool is the bottle in the middle? But still, elegance.
We'll come on to that one in a moment. But you mentioned spicing things up, so Saltburn.
Well, that's the perfect lead into Saltburn, if there ever were one.
As a little scene setter, we normally have a clip. And Shannon, who for some reason spent a long time watching Saltburn to find this clip, said it was very hard to isolate one that didn't have colourful language, shall we say.
Yeah, yes.
So lots of very posh English accents to be heard
in
high society.
In Oxford, no less. And it's funny because Barry Keoghan, who has a very deep Dublin accent, has a thick Manchester accent in this. So immediately it kind of gives you that idea that he's somewhat out of a duck out of water when he's in Oxford. But like, what is the premise of Saltburn? Like, how do I describe it? Well, it's basically about this young guy who gets a scholarship to go to Oxford University. So he's incredibly intelligent, but he is like that duck out of water. He's not from a rich family. He's there because of his intelligence and getting the...
On merit, in other words.
On merit, exactly. He's there on merit. But we really begin to see, as the movie goes on, you begin to see just how intelligent this person is. And or it kind of contrasts with how sometimes the super rich can be very green around the gills and very... ridiculously flamboyant to a fault, if that makes sense.
Depends, are they first generation rich or not?
Yeah, and it kind of, well, you've got several generations of the wealth in this one area, so it's really interesting, but it is provocative. It is psychologically very, very deep. It's very, like, the more I think about it.
Is it provocative as regards to get you out of your chair? Is it provocative?
No.
I know where you're going with this.
No. Okay. So, like I said, when I sat down, like, myself and my husband watched it. You wouldn't watch it even with a close friend, I don't think. I blushed in front of my husband. And it was, do you know what? People are giving out about the level of provocation in it. And I don't see it being an issue because it really, really solidifies how psychologically invested this chap is, that he's willing to break his own boundaries, let alone other people's, to get what he wants. Kind of Machiavellian. You know, he has this kind of Machiavellian personality that is kind of on the down low for a little bit, but you start to see it kind of creep out of its shell. And then there's this crescendo at the end and you're like, oh my days. And the ladies in the audience that would have seen it would have been like, oh my days, for many reasons. And quite heavy on male nudity, which is refreshing because female nudity is so overdone at this point, and it just seems to be token now, doesn't it? Like, if there isn't a naked woman...
I hate tokenism.
Yeah, I know. I bet you do. Mm. And if there isn't a naked lady, is it even a movie worthy of note?
No, but comment.
There's a lot of male nudity, but there's so many barriers broken with this movie that it's like, I would recommend everyone watch it. Everyone over the age of 18, and don't watch it with your parents. And actually, do you know what? Watch it alone. Just watch it alone.
I think Charlotte Regan, he's a comedian, and he actually had to put a clarification up on Instagram because he said, do you want a Christmas a good recommendation? See this and see it with the whole family. You love it. Saltburn. Then had to put it on and said, I comedian. I say jokes up my mouth.
Yeah.
People took it as a flat,
yeah,
as
like
a flat
I
recommendation. And then so if you were to see it with your parents and maybe some
other
ones.
Oh my God. Okay. Like, I had so many questions. And you know, my husband is quite a shy man. Like, I'm not a shy person, and I blushed. So he kind of was sinking down in his chair a little. But
so you had to, what, Google certain terms and things, did you?
Well, absolutely not, Will.
So
what do you take me for?
It's recommended for an Oscar. Barry Keoghan's recommended
for
an Oscar.
Absolutely, yeah. Oscar worthy.
Sorry, there's a missing piece of a puzzle here.
Okay.
Because while you're talking about potential Oscars and it's actually getting good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It seems to be very polarizing.
Entirely
because there
polarizing.
Are a huge number of people who've contacted the show to say, what are you on about? It's utter obscene rubbish.
Yeah. And I think that level of provocation probably does just turn people off and then they miss the entire point of the movie.
Is it gratuitous?
Yes.
In a way, is that not the point of art itself? It's not to get everyone to agree. It's actually to provoke debate.
Exactly. And that's what I loved about this. And I think it did it in the most tasteful yet distasteful fashion, that there's so much to it that I was unpacking it for days.
Tasteful yet distasteful.
I'm trying to process
it. There's the paradox of the movie.
It's tastefully distasteful.
Yeah, because it was necessary.
Oh.
So when you see it first, you're like, that was totally unnecessary.
In a way, you got somebody coming in from Manchester, obviously not. You got the mega rich there, and you got this kid coming in on a scholarship. These rich fellas do not see him coming from, for a better word.
Absolutely not, because they undervalue.
I was trying to search for another word there. I really was. And I just said,
watershed moment.
Thank you, Will.
That's what's going on social media.
But it just shows, exactly. It showcases that really well, that these people who get these things kind of handed to them by proxy because of wealth, and then this guy they undervalue comes along. Well, a lot can go on under the radar when you undervalue someone, thus not taking them too seriously.
Underestimated them.
Seriously. But it's a piece of art.
Well, as one listener suggests, in high English society, that's how they tend to work. Recall the pictures of David Cameron and the pig some years ago.
There you go.
Acts like that are common, so they all have dirt on each other and are therefore less likely to cross one another.
That's a very valid point. Can we change gears in a moment? Sure.
You highly recommend, and I think certainly it's one to watch and make up your own mind about, because you will have an opinion one way or the other.
Yes.
Willy Wonka.
Yes.
So we had the Gene Wilder version. We had the Johnny Depp version. And now there's a new one.
Yeah.
That and some red wine next.
Rewind and review with Wines Direct. Breaking the mold of traditional wine retailers with their own unique flair, genuine passion and enthusiasm. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
The label on this next bottle, once it's in your mind, you won't forget it. Men in Black is obviously the scene being depicted, but instead of guns in their hand, they have bottles of wine. Men in Brett, tell us more.
Okay, Men in Brett. So this is done by the Brett brothers. There's two of them, and they're from Mâcon, but they're making some red wine in Beaujolais. Beaujolais is south of Burgundy, mostly Gamay grape. And this is what they call their glue wine. They're sort of like low alcohol, lovely to drink wine. But there's only 3,000 bottles of this made. But I decided to bring it in and share it with you today. So why did I talk about Beaujolais? Beaujolais is always lower. When you talk about red wine, is generally lower in alcohol. You're talking about 11.5% to maybe 13% at the tip top, depending on how warm the year is. Now, as a result, the wine's going to be very light. If you don't like dry tannins, those are the sort of things that make your mouth dry when you're drinking it. This is what it is. It's also great. These sort of lower alcohol wines are great to actually share with a group of people, because if you get something 14-15%, after about 2.5 glasses, I start slurring my words. You know, this one keeps the party going. This one
with less hangover the next day,
because it's still a lot of people in when come in to talk to us in Wines Direct, they talk about sulfites in the wine, talk about chemicals in the wine. Yeah, they all contribute to your health and everything else, and also farming. But really, when you're talking about it, it's alcohol in the wine that affects you. So here we are. We got something that's low in lower in alcohol, only 11.5%, but it's still really juicy. It's still really fun, and it's more looking towards summer wine. But listen, I'm done with winter. I'm done with the dark days. We had the winter solstice just before Christmas. We are things are getting slightly brighter. I'd like to think. Of course, there's ubiquitous same friend in the WhatsApp group said grand stretch in the evenings, like on the 24th. But this is a great sort of summer wine. We're going into summer. It's lighter. It's brighter. It's just promises of summer ahead.
And did you say it's in short supply?
It is in short supply.
Nearly the last of the summer wine.
It's
nice.
I don't know how to sponsor that. I really do not have to sponsor that. I don't know how I can paint with the face I just made on radio. But yes, that's officially in the, it goes to the dad joke collection.
Oh yes,
congratulations.
Come on, though. In fairness to him,
it's so bad, it's good.
Like, yes. Yeah, and do you know what? Actually, looking at it, and I love anything that's kind of exclusive because, you know, if there isn't too many, I'd love one. It's just a step up from rosé in terms of colour for me. Now, I'm very uneducated, folks, when it comes to wine.
Right, well, the colour of the red wine comes from the maceration of the grapes, basically. The time spent on, the juice spent on grapes.
Okay.
And the time the juice spends on grapes, the more time, the darker it is, generally, the more tannins, the drier it is. Also, that's what it is. And rosé is generally the first, well, there's different ways of making rosé, but generally speaking, from red wine, it's almost like the first run of juice, so it had the very little amount of time on skins. So yeah. They're going, right, this is limited time amount of skins, doesn't look like a rosé, but it's very light in colour.
Yeah.
Forgive my lack of vocabulary when it comes to wine, but this is more like a drinking red as opposed to, let's say, something from a very warm part of Spain that's almost peppery that goes with a steak.
You're dead right. If you had a steak or something like that, it would go over it. This would go great. Actually, this something like this, something red wine like this, go great with fish if you want to put it with food.
Yes.
Or with a light pasta or something like that, or with some salami or something like that. Pizza, for example, absolutely perfect with. Those sort of flavors. If it's really big and powerful, generally speaking, when you're matching food and wine, general rule of thumb: if it's a light sort of flavored wine, you don't put big powerful food flavors against it. If it's a delicate flavored like fish or something like that, you don't put big powerful wine with it.
Yeah, so this would be a nice one for people who like red wine more so than white, but love their fish.
Yeah.
Because I think fish, you think fish, you think white wine.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's just it. I think it's a perfect perfect wine. We also have some other wines that are basically called glue wines, which are, again, all about 12% alcohol, 12.5% alcohol. They're fun. They all got cool labels because they're all doing this at this moment in time. And they tend to be breaking the rules, because even though this comes from Beaujolais, this is a Vin de France. Generally, Vin de France means that it's basically you can do whatever you want. So they've actually broken the rules and actually made it lighter. And that's what they tend to do with these wines.
And very has good. It an exclusive price?
It is. And I don't have it with me right now.
Oh, that's okay.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask.
Yeah. I'm going to dance in the corner. Like
yeah. Winesdirect.ie anyway for more details. And it's called Men in Brett.
Men in Brett, yes.
It's cool. It's cool wine.
Should they ever have moved past the Gene Wilder version of Willy Wonka?
I would have said no. And I am, anyone who knows me knows I'm a big Tim Burton fan. So when I tell you I was very let down by his remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, even though it's much more in line with the book. So if you're a Roald Dahl fan, you probably will lean more towards the Johnny Depp. But for me, I was like, it does nothing for me. Gene Wilder, very, very hard act to follow. Mm. And what I loved about Wonka, I went into it not expecting anything anyway. And I think the trailer does it no favours. So I went in with no hopes. My little girl wanted to go see it. And I was like, do you know what? It is the perfect Christmas movie. Mm. So we went over the holidays. And when I tell you, I came out and my husband is, one of his favourite movies of all time is the original Gene Wilder. And he looked at the trailer and said, no, I wouldn't be interested. But I came out of cinema and I was like, Eddie, you would have absolutely, it was standing ovation worthy.
Oh, really?
I was shocked. I was stuck to my chair. I laughed halfway through it. I cried near the end. There's this hint of world, you know that song from the original? Come with me. Oh. So there's like little haunting hints of that song starting all throughout the movie. And then there's this crescendo at the end that's just the most amazing. Oh, look, it was.
So it is good. And the Oompa Loompa is actually explained.
Oh, my. Yes. The whole backstory of the Oompa Loompa and how the Oompa Loompa came to be, which are, it's just. And his love for chocolate and why you can see why magic is so important to him. Mm. Like there's more of. It's a teachable movie as well. Do you know what I mean?
Did your daughter enjoy it as much as you did?
She absolutely loved it. I brought my mother, and now my mother would love kind of all sorts of movies anyway, but she absolutely loved it. The three of us came out and went, wow. Now, I don't think Mammy was kind of expecting it not to be good. She was like, oh, I'm going to the cinema and I love movies, so it's great. Mm. You know, it's going to be a 10 out of 10 for me anyway. But I was going in like, it'll probably be a 2 out of 10. And I came out and I was like, wow. So me and Eddie are going to go see it because he needs to see it. He will just... It's just excellent.
I found it because I actually like a bit like you. I didn't want to go see it because it was I loved Gene Hackman's version. I didn't bother seeing the Johnny Depp version because we all knew what it was going to
Gene
be.
Gene Wilder, yes.
I figured it was
steps of a stairs. Yeah. That it was a step down
into
Johnny
the basement.
Depp, and it was going to be even lower.
Exactly,
because especially when you get a lot of stuff from the big studios at this moment in time, they tend to be saying, right, stick a 2 on it, or call it a prequel, or call it a reboot. Put no imagination into it.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll just throw muck at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
But like this is not so magical. This is,
okay, but here's the question then. So we've established it's better than the Johnny Depp version.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down.
Does it beat the original?
No. But it's on a par. For me, I couldn't choose. I would be like, they are nose to nose. They are fantastic.
That's high praise.
That is high praise. And I mean it so sincerely. I'm not trying to sensationalise it. I really thought. And again, if you've seen the trailer and you're put off and you're kind of like, yeah, it doesn't look great. I would agree with you. The trailer does not look great. The movie itself is phenomenal.
Guys, time is up. So thank you for the recommendations, as always, both for the wine and for the movies. Gareth Keogh. Lynn Berry, thank you very much for making time for us.
Happy New Year.
Shannon Fogarty put it all together today along with Claire O'Brien and the news team. We'll chat tomorrow morning from 9. Take care. Bye-bye.
Rewind and review with Wines Direct, celebrating the sheer joy that exceptional wine brings and its power to forge connections among people. WinesDirect.ie. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.